The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. Part 28. Book 3, the 49th chapter. The Desire of Eternal Life, the Great Rewards Promised to Those Who Struggle. The Voice of Christ. My child, when you feel the desire for everlasting happiness poured out upon you from above, and when you long to depart out of the tabernacle of the body, that you may contemplate my glory without threat of change, open wide your heart, and receive this holy inspiration with all eagerness. Give deepest thanks to the heavenly goodness which deals with you so understandingly, visits you so mercifully, stirs you so fervently, and sustains you so powerfully, lest, under your own weight, you sink down to earthly things. For you obtain this not by your own thought or effort, but simply by the condescension of heavenly grace and divine regard. And the purpose of it is that you may advance in virtue and in greater humility, that you may prepare yourself for future trials, that you may strive to cling to me with all the affection of your heart, and may serve me with a fervent will. My child, often when the fire is burning, the flame does not ascend without smoke. Likewise, the desires of some burn towards heavenly things, and yet they are not free from temptations of carnal affection. Therefore, it is not altogether for the pure honor of God that they act, when they petition him so earnestly. Such, too, is often your desire when you profess to be so strong, for that which is alloyed with self-interest is not pure and perfect. Ask, therefore, not for what is pleasing and convenient to yourself, but for what is acceptable to me, and is for my honor. Because if you judge rightly, you ought to prefer and follow my will, not your own desire, or whatever things you wish. I know your longings, and I have heard your frequent sighs. Already you wish to be in the liberty of the glory of the sons of God. Already you desire the delights of the eternal home, the heavenly land that is full of joy. But that hour is not yet come. There remains yet another hour, a time of war, of labor, and of trial. You long to be filled with the highest good, but you cannot attain it now. I am that sovereign good. Await me until the kingdom of God shall come. You must still be tried on earth, and exercised in many things. Consolation will sometimes be given you, but the complete fullness of it is not granted. Take courage, therefore, and be strong, both to do and to suffer what is contrary to nature. You must put on the new man. You must be changed into another man. You must often do things you do not wish to do, and forego those that you do wish. What pleases others will succeed. What pleases you will not. The words of others will be heard. What you say will be counted as nothing. Others will ask and receive. You will ask and not receive. Others will gain great fame among men. About you, nothing will be said. To others, the doing of this or that will be entrusted. You will be judged useless. At all this, nature will sometimes be sad, and it will be a great thing if you bear this sadness in silence. For in these and many similar ways, the faithful servant of the Lord is wont to be tried, to see how far he can deny himself and break himself in all things. There is scarcely anything in which you need to die to self, as in seeing and suffering things that are against your will, especially when things that are commanded seem inconvenient or useless. Then, because you are under authority and dare not resist the higher power, it seems hard to submit to the will of another and give up your own opinion entirely. But consider, my child, the fruit of these labors, how soon they will end and how greatly they will be rewarded, and you will not be saddened by them. But your patience will receive the strongest consolation. For instead of the little will that you now readily give up, you shall always have your will in heaven. There indeed you shall find all that you could desire. There you shall have possession of every good, without fear of losing it. There shall your will be forever one with mine. It shall desire nothing outside of me, and nothing for itself. There no one shall oppose you, no one shall complain of you, no one hinder you, and nothing stand in your way. All that you desire will be present there, replenishing your affection and satisfying it to the full. There I shall render you glory for the reproach that you have suffered here. For your sorrow I shall give you a garment of praise, and for the lowest place a seat of power forever. There the fruit of glory will appear, the labor of penance rejoice, and humble subjection be gloriously crowned. Bow humbly, therefore, under the will of all, and do not heed who said this or commanded that. But let it be your special care when something is commanded, or even hinted at, whether by a superior, or an inferior, or an equal, that you take it in good part, and try honestly to perform it. Let one person seek one thing and another something else. Let one glory in this, another in that, and both be praised 1,000 times over. But as for you, rejoice neither in one or the other, but only in contempt of yourself, and in my pleasure and honor. Let this be your wish, that whether in life or in death, God may be glorified in you. The 50th chapter. How a desolate person ought to commit himself into the hands of God. The Disciple. Lord God, Holy Father, may you be blessed now and in eternity. For as you will, so is it done, and what you do is good. Let your servant rejoice in you, not in himself or in any other, for you alone are true joy. You are my hope and my crown. You, O Lord, are my joy and my honor. What does your servant possess that he has not received from you, and that without any merit of his own? Yours are all the things which you have given, all the things which you have made. I am poor and in labors since my youth, and my soul is sorrowful sometimes even to the point of tears. At times also my spirit is troubled because of impending sufferings. I long for the joy of peace. Earnestly I beg for the peace of your children who are fed by you in the light of consolation. If you give peace, if you infuse holy joy, the soul of your servant shall be filled with holy song and be devout in praising you. But if you withdraw yourself, as you so very often do, he will not be able to follow the way of your commandments, but will rather be obliged to strike his breast and bend the knee, because his today is different from yesterday and the day before, when your light shone upon his head, and he was protected in the shadow of your wings from the temptations rushing upon him. Just Father, ever to be praised, the hour is come for your servant to be tried. Beloved Father, it is right that in this hour your servant should suffer something for you. O Father, forever to be honored, the hour which you knew from all eternity is at hand, when for a short time your servant should be outwardly oppressed, but inwardly should ever live with you. Let him be a little slighted, let him be humbled, let him fail in the sight of men, let him be afflicted with suffering and pain, so that he may rise again with you in the dawn of the new light and be glorified in heaven. Holy Father, you have so appointed and wished it. What has happened is what you commanded. For this is a favor to your friend, to suffer and be troubled in the world for your love. No matter how often and by whom you permit it to happen to him. Nothing happens in this world without your design and providence, and without cause. It is well for me, O Lord, that you have humbled me, that I may learn the justice of your judgments, and cast away all presumption and haughtiness of heart. It is profitable for me that shame has covered my face, so that I may look to you, rather than to men, for consolation. Hereby I have learned also to fear your inscrutable judgment, falling alike upon the just and unjust, yet not without equity and justice. Thanks to you, that you have not spared me evils, but have bruised me with bitter blows, inflicting sorrows, sending distress without and within. Under heaven there is none to console me except you, my Lord God, the heavenly physician of souls, who wound and heal, who cast down to hell and raise up again. Your discipline is upon me, and your very rod shall instruct me. Behold, beloved Father, I am in your hands. I bow myself under your correcting chastisement. Strike my back and my neck, that I may bend my crookedness to your will. Make of me a pious and humble follower, as in your goodness you are wont to do, that I may walk according to your every nod. Myself and all that is mine I commit to you to be corrected, for it is better to be punished here than hereafter. You know all things without exception, and nothing in man's conscience is hidden from you. Coming events you know before they happen, and there is no need for anyone to teach or admonish you about what is being done on earth. You know what will promote my progress, and how much tribulation will serve to cleanse away the rust of vice. Deal with me according to your good pleasure, and do not despise my sinful life, which is known to none so well or so clearly as to you alone. Grant me, O Lord, the grace to know what should be known, to praise what is most pleasing to you, to esteem that which is most precious to you, and abhor what is unclean in your sight. Do not allow me to judge according to the light of my bodily eyes, nor to give sentence according to the hearing of ignorant men's ears, but let me distinguish with true judgment between things visible and spiritual, and always seek above all things your good pleasure. The senses of men often err in their judgments, and the lovers of this world also err in loving only visible things. How is a man the better for being thought greater by men? The deceiver deceives the deceitful, the vain man deceives the vain, the blind deceives the blind, the weak deceives the weak, as often as he extols them. And in truth, his foolish praise shames them the more. For as the humble Saint Francis says, "Whatever anyone is in your sight, that he is, and nothing more." End of part 28.